Aaron.
Good evening to each of you. I'm glad to be here with you. Those of you on live streaming, I'm thankful to be here. Yes, Brother Mike and I had an enjoyable time, very busy time. We met with quite a few missions, traveled many miles or kilometers in their way of thinking. Tonight, I have something that has been impressed upon my heart. It started before I even left, but it kind of rolled all together. And it's interesting, the last song that we sung, Rise Up, Young Men, Rise Up. And this is probably going to talk to them as well. So anyhow, as you can see here, this is one of our missions, and you can see the Bible and the Book of Mormon there. And it's the topic for this evening. The first slide. There shall be one fold, John 10:16. This is going to be a restoration sermon to some extent, going into prophecy. I'm kind of packaged it, hopefully, to be able to make it clear and not too difficult to understand. And this is the words of Christ. In the 16th verse, he says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I use this scripture when I'm over in the Philippines, because we, the missionaries, and even themselves, believe they're part of Israel, one of the lost tribes. They have some history over there that goes back pretty far. Even back to the days of Solomon. They have ancient writings on the rock, which is Hebraic in nature. And so they have it in their heart. It's by no mistake that we're over there. There shall be one fold, 3 Nephi 7:20-22. And verily I say unto you that ye are they, of which I said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So who is he talking to? He's talking about, in the Book of Mormon, he's talking about those of the seed of Joseph that we find that Brother Alvin and Brother Joel are down there. They're having a youth gathering. And these are words that were written long ago, prior to the coming of Christ. Well, this is the words of Christ. And he's saying that you are they. And them also I must bring, and they should hear my voice. And verse 21, and they understood me not, for they supposed it had been the Gentiles. So when the Lord had spoke those words that I read to you the previous slide in John 10:16, they thought when they heard that, other sheep, okay, so they're talking about the Gentiles later on. But that was not the case. It was of Israel. And this is giving you the reasons why. In the words of Christ, and they understood me not, for they supposed it had been the Gentiles, for they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. That would mean that their words would have to come to us, and that's what we have in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. And they understood me not that I said that they shall hear my voice. And they understood me not that the Gentiles should not at any time hear my voice. That I should not manifest myself or stand in their presence as he did with the house of Israel unto them, save it were by the Holy Ghost. And that was the means by which the Lord was going to communicate to us as Gentiles, is by way of his Holy Spirit. And that's all the teachings of Paul and the different ones as we find in the Gospels as it spread among the Gentile nations. So going on in 3 Nephi 24:26, and verily, verily, I say unto you that I have other sheep, which are not of this land. So now he's telling them, I've got more that are not here, but they're in another land. And they're not in the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land round about, whether I have been to minister. For they of which I speak are they which have not as yet heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father, that I should go unto them, and that they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep, and there may be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore I go to shew myself unto them. And the reason why I have this here is because of what I talked to you about earlier, that those who are, that we go to and minister to, it's by no mistake that we've been led and directed by the Spirit to go there, as well as in Africa, and as well as in Yucatan. And those in Kenya, they believe that they are also part of Israel. Obviously, those in Yucatan, they're being of the seed of Manasseh, they are of the seed of Joseph. And if you remember correctly, when the last Mayan king heard the words that was spoken to him by our apostle Wheaton as he was there, he held up the book before all of his people and he said, these are the words, and this is the book, our book, that the black robes destroyed. He recognized the words and knew the source of it, even Jesus Christ. Words of the prophet Zenos. You might want to write down some of these verses, and so as you have opportunity to revisit them and think about them as I unfold them to you, because they're important, because it talks about the mission that the Church of Christ has been giving in these last days. Really, the days that started when that work began among our brothers down in South America, in Yucatan, and then later on in Africa, and then also in the Philippines. Here in Jacob, the third chapter, verse 69 through 71, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, pluck off the branches that have not brought forth good fruit, and cast them into the fire. But behold, the servant saith unto him, let us prune it, and dig about it, and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee. And thou canst lay it up against the season. And it came to pass, the Lord of the vineyard, who is that? The Lord of the vineyard, who is that? The Father. And the servant, that's Jesus Christ. The servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. Why did I give that? Well, if you remember the words of Christ in 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, he said, of the sheep I must go to that are not of this land. Here we see in the book of Zenos that there were those plantings. There happened to be four at the time that we read in. There was one in a very, very bad place. There was one in almost a bad place. And then there was one in a good place and a very good place. So there was a total of four. But in the recovery process, as you read through the book of Jacob, they only recover three. And the interesting thing about that is, if you remember the history in the Book of Mormon, that Mulek was one of those that left. That was of the seed of Judah at the time of when Lehi and his family left, just prior to the destruction and Babylon carrying off the king and his and killing off his sons. We know that there was one of the sons that were brought over into the Americas. Why? Because the Book of Mormon tells you it was Mulek. And they lived in a place called Zarahemla. And we find that Nephi and his people, in the days of Mosiah, they ended up in Zarahemla, and they found the seed of Judah there. They didn't have the records. And so they were able to, over time, they were able to speak their language and understand that they came. And they joined themselves, if you remember the history there, they joined themselves together. They called themselves Nephites. So there were no longer two groups of people. That's why you end up with three plantings that are recovered in the book of Jacob. A little side note on that. But again, these are things you need to consider as you read through those verses of scripture. So let's go on to John in the 10th chapter, the purpose of it. There shall be one fold. This is the words of Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's speaking of everyone who has heard the call and have come into the gospel of Christ and made that covenant with him. And the reason why I'm reading these verses, it should be something that you would feel comforted with, because in verse 28 it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hands. So you find that we're in the hand of the Son and in the hand of the Father to help us to be a part of his kingdom. And that should bring some comfort to each one of us. The Son of Man, or Son of Man, can these bones live? This is in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And this particular passages of scripture I'm going to read to you, the 25 verses, they'll be broken up. But it's very important for us to understand, because it's speaking about the restoration. But more importantly, it's really the restoration of the house of Israel and our role that we play as the body of Christ, his bride, in this dispensation of time, and then going on into when Christ returns and the work that will go on during the millennial reign. But here, when I read these first few verses of Ezekiel several months ago, it brought back an image. So let me read the first three verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. So what kind of attracted me to this? Well, as some of you know, I lived in Germany for 3 years when I was young, 11, 12, and 13. I went to Dachau with my family. Later on, my current family, my wife and my daughter, we went over to Germany and we went there as well. And we were there inside of Dachau near where the ovens were. And we had seen the barracks and different ones. But there was a man sitting on the bench. And he looked over to us. We were all by ourselves. And he beckoned us to come on over. Well, we went on over there. And he spoke really to Jennifer. He said, I want you to sit down. I want to tell you the story, my testimony. He was there when those ovens were being used to get rid of the bodies that were being destroyed, being killed by the Germans. And he was a Jew. And I get those flashbacks of seeing those pictures of the bones within those ovens, and it made me think about this and become wanting to know more as I looked these verses over. And it really is a story about the restoration of Israel. The 11th verse, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried. our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. So really, this helps us to understand what the prophecy is, the prophet is seeing, and what the Lord is trying to convey, maybe to the prophet, but more importantly, to those who will be future generations. Because we know the history of the Jews, how they were cast off, and they had been spread out through all the nations of the earth. And every place where they went, they've been persecuted, if you know anything about history, from the time that they were dispersed until the time in which they become a nation. But even still, there are those out there that are Jews that are still being persecuted. But our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off. Why? Because they chose to reject the Messiah. And they had that consequence. But there's a promise to them. Going to the 12th through the 14th chapters, verses, it says, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." I think about that in part in those plantings that have been recovered in Africa and in South America and in the Philippines. This has come true. Part of this prophecy has come true. Those who have accepted the fullness of the gospel and been baptized into the body of Christ, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They've come alive, and they know it. That's why I feel a closeness to these words that Ezekiel was given long ago. As it goes on in 2 Nephi in the 7th chapter, 9 through 12, it goes along with those words in Isaiah. "But because of priestcrafts and iniquities, they at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him," Christ, that's who he's speaking about, "that he be crucified. Wherefore, because of their iniquities, destruction and famines and pestilence and bloodshed shall come upon them. And they which shall not be destroyed shall be scattered among all nations." And that is the history of Israel from the time that, from 589 BC, when the temple was destroyed, then the final aspects of it right after the death and resurrection of Christ, about 60 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. "But behold, thus saith the Lord God, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers that they shall be restored in the flesh as a people upon the earth unto the lands of their inheritance." As we continue on in Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, starting with verse 15, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying," now this is going to help us to understand by what method, how is this going to take place. This is what the prophet is bringing to our understanding. "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee a stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel, his companions." So what is a stick? A scroll is a good example. What they used to do and what they still do even today, if you go to a Hebrew temple and when they bring out the five books of Moses, there's two sticks and there the scroll is rolled up between the two. And they walk it through the aisle and come back and they praise the Lord for the five books of Moses. But here we find that there would be a stick for Judah and then there would be a stick for Joseph. What do you think that is? It is the history of the seed of Joseph that we know of, that we have in our hands, is the Bible. The other stick, the stick of Joseph as we understand it, is the Book of Mormon. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. This is the reason why we carry both books with us. They testify of Jesus Christ. It testifies of the house of Israel. It is the work that the bride of Christ has been given to have in our day. And they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto you, unto thee, saying, wilt thou not shew us what thou meanest by these things? It's a mystery. But I'm going to tell you, when we bring these things to the knowledge of the different ones over there in the Philippines, and I know it's the same way when we were in Africa or when we've been down in Yucatan, when they read the words, there is a direct connection with those people. They see the truthfulness in it. The Spirit of the Lord works with their hearts and helps them to understand that it's there. It's their record. They're speaking about us. First Nephi in the third chapter, to come forth unto the Gentiles. This is the method in which it was to be carried. 184, for behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things, which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up, and come forth unto the Gentiles by the power and the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. If we don't have a testimony of this, a personal testimony, we're missing something. We're missing something very important that the Lord would have us to understand. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, talks about the words of a book that is sealed. We should have all this, we should have this understanding of these things because it is the bride of Christ. It is the mission that the body of Christ has to carry these two records and to be able to explain them and show them in the stick of Judah that it's speaking about those records and why we carry the Book of Mormon. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, speaking of Israel. No different than what the prophet was talking about, the prophet Ezekiel, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets, your rulers and seers have he covered. You notice we don't have any more in the stick of Judah, any more prophets rising up, as we have like in Isaiah and Daniel and all Hezekiah, Jeremiah, all those prophets. They had an end. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver it to one that is learned, saying, read this. I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. So who was that? Who is he talking about? Can anybody answer that question? This actually happened. Who was it? Professor Anthony. When they brought 100 and some pages to show. Part of the Book of Mormon. That took place. It's a part of history. Our history. Did you know it? Do you recognize it? It's important because it's been fulfilled in our history, our period of time. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I'm not learned. And that's exactly what Joseph Smith said, because he was a young lad, unlearned. But the Lord used him in a mighty way because of his faith to be able to write the words as he heard them. This has been accomplished. This is a fact. It should be a testimony to you that the words of the Lord is true and faithful, and his prophecies are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled where we can recognize them. As you go on in Isaiah, therefore, in the 14th verse, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth? Who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Isn't that talking about our day? Think about it. Everything that's going on in the current news. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. Let me help you to understand that. What's going on within our own country? The woke generation, or what they're trying to do to our young people. Oh, you feel like a girl? And you're a boy? We can take care of that. Turning of things upside down shall esteem as the potter's clay, that God ordained it. He made it that way. That's what it's talking about. It's talking, the prophet is talking about our day. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Isn't that the words that we kind of hear? God didn't make me that way. He made me this way. Whatever way I feel. Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? That's why we have to change it. We've got ways to do that. This is the prophecy found in Isaiah, speaking of this period of time when this book would come forth. And what we will see unfold in our days. Verse 17, is it not yet very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. If you know about the history of the Jews, as the Zionist movement started, that started right early in the early 1800s, when 1830, the Restoration took place. And it wasn't long after that they ended up, some migrated to Israel, and then this became a fact. That the the latter rains returned according to the prophecies and started a whole awakening of the land. When those of the Jews and the different ones were able to return early on, they settled there and they started growing things, and this became part of all that. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. The Book of Mormon, the record of the seed of Joseph. The deaf and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Really? It's talking about the Gentiles and when they were able to see the fullness of the gospel and understand it. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because it opened their eyes. Anyone that has that opportunity, it opens their eyes to the truthfulness of the gospel, not as men would teach it, but as it has been penned in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and by the Holy Ghost that would verify those things. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. The terrible one is brought to naught, meaning those who fight against the things of God because of all the bad history that you find during the Dark Ages concerning Christianity, all those things. This is what it's talking about, the scorner, those who doubt, don't believe in God, and all they would watch for iniquity are cut off. That make a man an offender for a word. Can anybody put an exclamation point on that in our day? I see Gary shaking his head, yeah. All you have to do is say something wrong that they don't like, and you'll be persecuted from here to kingdom come. All you have to do is say, she, and they don't like she, and you will hear about it. Or say anything opposite of what they're trying to portray in our society today. A man that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. The gate was at one time, it was where a rule of law was for Israel. So you don't even have, you can't even go to our judges because they're going to judge as the world would judge. And that's what this is talking about. Lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. Meaning when you want to take them up there and say, look it, I'm being persecuted up top. Live with it. He's got the right to do that, whatever it might be. Our judges are not judging righteously anymore. They're judging based on how things are flowing in our society today. And turn aside the just for the thing of not. This is a description of what we live in our day, the day we live. I hope you can see it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. That's what happens when he's speaking of being ashamed. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in the spirit. That's the other reason why we have both books, one in our hands. It helps to support the true gospel of Christ and put down the false doctrine of Christ, and shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. All these things were prophesied concerning what was going to take place when that book came forth, that marvelous work and a wonder, in the words of Isaiah, and the purposes behind it. So let's go to 1 Nephi in the third chapter. Blessed are they which shall. Verse 187, and blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. That means if we have those records in our hands, we believe we are the bride of Christ. I hope and pray that we're bearing our testimony and that we are encouraging others to read those records and to come to Christ. Those of the ministry, the body of Christ in particular. It says, blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Through your support and your tithes and your offerings and your labors, coming to the local and supporting locals and all the things that go with supporting the work. For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, that shall publish tidings of great joy. How beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. I rejoice to the thing, those things that I'm able to speak and help you and help others to understand the beautiful words that were given to us and the promises and all the effort that was put in to writing and keeping the records that we might have them today. What a beautiful gift we've been given to be able to hold and to read and to consider that beautiful plan of Christ in our day. Continue in Ezekiel 37th chapter, 18th verse, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto you, thee saying, wilt thou not show us what the meaning by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. That's why I started off my PowerPoint with those two sticks sitting on the beautiful table that was there. There are tools to be used for that beautiful purpose that the Lord has so ordained. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. That is the final thing in which the Lord is prophesying he will be doing with Israel. My understanding of it is that when you go to the end of Isaiah, it's going to continue on during the millennial reign until its end. But we do have that work today, and we've been given it. And that work among the plantings, that is part of that work. And they'll have a role to play. 1 Nephi in the third chapter, this is after the Gentiles had received what? The record that was spoken of in Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the book. And after, verse 15, and after they had slain the Messiah, which should come, and after that he had been slain, he should rise from the dead and shall make himself manifest, or in his, will make his presence known by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. And after the house of Israel shall be scattered, they shall be gathered together again, or and find that after the Gentiles had received the fullness of the gospel, both records, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the natural branches of the olive tree, or the remnants of the house of Israel, shall be grafted in and come to the knowledge of the true Messiah, their Lord and the Redeemer. That is what has taken place. When we find our loved ones in Africa, and our loved ones in Mexico, and our loved ones over in the Philippines. And as I preached in my last sermon when I was here, the fields are white. And why are they white? Because there's another prophecy that are being unfolded where there's many from the southern border coming north. There are good and there are bad. I heard on the news that 43% of the people coming across the border, and these are the government statistics, they're not even from South America. They're from 100 and some odd different countries. 43% coming from other countries other than South America. But that, what? 57% is of South America. And of them, there will be those who will have an affinity to the things in which we're going to preach and teach. And there's a work to be done among them. The Lord is bringing them here for his wise purpose. In Jacob, in the third chapter, this is the words of the prophet Zenos. It goes along with this whole thing that I'm outlining for you. Verse 125, wherefore go to and call servants, that we may labor diligently with our minds in the vineyard, that ye may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, which natural fruit is good, and most precious above all other fruit. Wherefore let us go to and labor with our mites this last time. That's the dispensation of time leading up to the return of Christ. That's what it's speaking of. For behold, the end draweth nigh. And this is the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. Graft in the branches, beginning at the last. That last planting was in the Americas when Lehi and his family came. The other three were there. Well, Mulek was already there. And the other two, I believe it's the first planting was the Philippines, and the second one was Africa, and then Mulek, and then the seed of Lehi's seed, or the seed of Manasseh, Joseph. But it says, graft in the branches begin at the last. In 1953, that took place when the Church of Christ established a body of Christ in the Americas, South America, among the Mayan people. Again, part of this has been fulfilled, as you can see, that they may be first to be recovered, and that the first may be last, that the first may be last, and dig about the trees, and both old and young, the first and the last, and the last and the first, that all may be nourished once again for the last time. You remember when I first started out, when Christ's words, other sheep that I have that are not of this fold, I must go see. Remember that? John 10:16, and then we find the words of Christ. You are they that I was talking about, but guess what? There's others other than you. I've got to go. And I'm going to manifest myself to them. I believe he manifested himself to these, one of them being the seed of Joseph. and the other plantings, that all may be nourished once again for the last time. So in our lifetime, we've seen those plantings have been reclaimed, a beachhead made in your lifetime. Why do I talk about this? Because guess what? If you don't have an affinity for it, if you haven't got that spark in your heart and mind as to the work that we're doing, the Bride of Christ in this day, how can it be supported? Brother Duane has been doing it for many years, myself, others. We're getting old. It's important for you to understand these things, that God is working a mighty, marvelous thing in our day. And he's using the tools that he gave us. His word. And it will be accomplished. This was the last planting when I was in Mexico in 2012. These are some of the churches there. That's the reason why I'm showing it. Let the first be last and the last be first. They were the first to be recovered. And these are the last, which were first planted, but last recovered. And they truly were. I'm the recorder. I know when the first baptisms took place. They fell the very way that the words of Jacob had given that prophecy in Jacob. They fell in that order, which is interesting to me. Continuing in the prophecy of Jacob, the prophecy of Zenos, verse 136, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if you labor with your mites with me, and I love that, because the Lord's going to be with you as you labor. He shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. So there's another prophet in the stick of Judah that talks about this. I will hiss for them. You probably heard this. I know Brother Jay spoke of this in one of his sermons some time ago. Verse 6, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. Think about it. The words that are being used here. I will strengthen the house of Judah. So, the house of Judah, that's what we see right now over there in Israel. They have become a people. In our lifetime, in 1967, the Six-Day War, they were able to claim Jerusalem as their capital. That's another fulfilling of the prophecy of Christ in Luke in the 21st chapter in 1967. He will strengthen the house of Judah. If you look at what the commentators say about it, it talks about against who? Syria and Egypt. Oh, interesting. That's who they fought in the Six-Day War and all her enemies. But it says, I will save the house of Joseph, the beachhead that we have in the Americas among our ancient covenant people, the Maya. Or the Lamanites, or Manasseh, excuse me, seed of Manasseh, the seed of Joseph, the ones that our brothers are down there talking and teaching the young people. I will save them. That is a spiritual saving. I think it's interesting how it contrasts the two, because we're not over in Jerusalem. We don't have a beachhead there. But we do among the seed of Joseph. I will bring them again to the place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. Those dry bones will be made flesh and returned to their homelands. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. That word hiss is to be shrill or to whistle or to call. That calling with the word of God through those two sticks to his ancient covenant people. I will hiss for them. In 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter, he uses similar words. My word shall hiss forth. Verse 42, but behold, there shall be many in that, at that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants, which I have made with unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people. The first time, if you remember, was when they were in Egypt, and he recovered them. And Moses brought them out and brought them to their lands, which are of the house of Israel. And also that I may remember the promises which I have made unto thee, Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed shall proceed forth out of my mouth unto your seed. And that has happened. The Book of Mormon was brought back to them. They recognized it. It is their words. And my words shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people, which are the house of Israel, a tool to be used to call Israel back to their roots. Finishing up in Ezekiel, shall be in the hand before their eyes, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king, this is the whole goal. One king shall be king over them. What king are we talking about here? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. This is what the prophet is saying. And they shall be no more two nations. They became two nations when the northern kingdoms and Judah were separated. And then they were dispersed throughout all the nations of the earth. And they are to this day. But it says they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with idols and with their detestable things and their transgressions. I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. How? By his beautiful gospel that will be brought to them. And David, my servant, that is speaking of Jesus Christ, shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Underline that. We may have these words, but are we doing them? Are we keeping those things that Christ has taught in our lives? All of us who have been baptized, are we doing them? Or are we hypocrites and say that we believe? And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David, which is Jesus Christ, shall be their prince forever. That's the beautiful promise. So I'm all last slide except for a couple of pictures. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the whole goal. First Nephi in the 7th chapter, verse 55. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall. There's only one. Remember that promise. Those whom the Lord have been given, he will keep. And the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth. And he numbereth the sheep, and they know him. Remember what the writings of Paul. When we become baptized in the gospel of Christ, we become adopted heirs if we're not of Israel. We become part of that promise. And we'll be part of those calves of the stall. And we'll be numbered his sheep. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he shall feed his sheep. And in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan will be bound. I have no power. Wherefore, he cannot be loosed for the space of many years. What is that speaking of? What does it bring? The millennial reign. For he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. What a beautiful promise. I know there's a lot of those things there. I wanted you to try and maybe write some of those things down or revisit it and pray about it. There's a promise that you can find in the 10th chapter of the book of Moroni. It's actually a challenge that if it's wisdom in God that you hold that record in your hand and is able to read it, you should ask God, in faith believing, if this is not true or not. And if you ask in faith, without hypocrisy, he will give you that testimony that those words are of him and they're true and faithful. Why do I say that? Because I did it at a young age. And the Lord blessed me with that testimony. These are some of the missions that I was able to visit while we were there. They're not a very rich people. Most of them are farmers. But they're a happy people. And they have a great faith in the Lord. And they depend on him on a daily basis. That one church up there with the red curtains and stuff, that was on top of Denawan. I spent 5 hours trekking through the jungle, going up and down the mountains to get there. First time that someone representing the Church of Christ from America was there. I was thankful to be able to meet them and to be with them and to worship with them and the zeal that they have for the Lord. There's some more of the different places where we visited. There's one church that is fairly large. That was donated to the church by one of the members who has a pretty good job, and he built that for the elder who, out of the kindness of their hearts, adopted him when they were very young, even though they had 4 or 5 children of their own. And raised them as their own. And one of them became pretty prosperous and built that and said, here you go. It's my gift to you, to the elder. Church didn't build it. I hope and pray that this may have made some sense to you. I know prophecy can be a little challenging, but if you take it step by step as I did, and look at it a little closer and allow the Spirit to lead and direct you in your hearts and your minds, it'll open you up, help you to understand that beautiful plan that God has for His children in these last days. And we have an opportunity to play a part in that, each one of us. So may God bless you in your endeavors to serve Him, is my prayer.